Mike Babcock is with us. Well, first of all, a very belated congratulations.
Well, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
It's always our pleasure to have you on. We thank you very much for taking time for us. Let's move past the Olympic experience to the most recent experience. So a year ago, your hockey team catches fire at the end of the year to get into the playoffs. And as Elliot reminded me, you had Chicago down 3-1. Is that right? And then kind of coughed up the bit. But
I can't let you say that.
Okay.
If you watch game 6 and 7, we didn't cough up the bit. We had the puck more than they won.
That's what I meant.
Thing. But go ahead.
No, I didn't mean it as a...
You go ahead. Well,
no, anyway, know I didn't mean it that way. But having said that, the point being, a great run at the end last year, a great run again this year. Is there something to that from a coaching perspective? Something you do late in the year that manages to turn your guys on?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would just say we got healthy last year at the right time. We haven't got healthy this year, but what's happened is we got good kids in the minors that have come up and been real good players and are going to end up being regular NHLers because they're that good. So I think that's what's happened for us. We've worked real hard. We've competed hard, given ourselves an opportunity, played pretty detailed, and won a few games. The reality is, though, we still got to find a way to fight our way in. And you know, these things go back and forth. We win 3 in a row, and then we drop a couple, and you think it's the end of the world. Just keep grinding.
Is it harder with a group of young, inexperienced kids, do you think, to keep their energy level and motivation up? Or maybe it's easier?
Well, that's a good question. And I just think anytime you got your team playing well, there's always energy in the group. When your team's not playing well, when you're out of it, I think it's real hard. We haven't had to worry about that. We haven't been out of it. I think if you're out of it, I think it'd be hard to keep the energy in the group. We have opportunity in front of us. We also believe that we might actually get some players back. So if we could ever, you know, find a way to get in, we might become a better hockey club. In the meantime, you know, kids are getting an opportunity to play, and you get to play more than you might have, and you get to earn that opportunity even when guys come back if you play well enough. So for me, you know, you coach the group you have, and that group changes weekly in the National League with all the injuries, and you just find a way to get them to play the best you can possibly can.
Mike, a player in another team in the East was saying the worst thing for them about what's happened with Detroit is that your young players have learned that they are good enough to win without Zetterberg and Datsyuk. Did you have any doubts that they would figure that out this quickly?
Well, I think you got to earn the right to think that. You know, it's great to be dressed. You got to win the games. Confidence comes on an unearned basis. You can come to the National Hockey League, you can be a good prospect, and you can play games, and you're always minus, and your team never wins. That doesn't earn confidence. What earns confidence is finding a way to be productive, finding a way to be a plus player, finding a way to outplay the guy across from you, finding a way to score big goals when it matters. And you know, to be honest with you, we had 6 forwards who played in the Calder Cup final last year, and they're all making significant contributions to our team. On the back end, you know, three young D and Lashoff and Smith, and in DeKaiser and Lashoff, less than Smith, played less games than Smith. They're good players for us, and they work hard, and they compete hard, and they give us a chance to win. So, to me, that's what it's about. You earn your own confidence. You learn to feel good about yourself, and you play better, and I think that's what's happened. But there's no question these guys are good players.
Do you change the way you coach at all?
That was going to be my question.
When Datsyuk and Zetterberg aren't there to take your hardest critiques or comments?
Well, I guess what I would say to you is when you have Datsyuk and Zetterberg and you make them accountable, everybody else is accountable. And so, you know, we got Leguan. I really thought what happened for us, without Leguan, and he doesn't have to be the best player, but without a veteran center, I thought we would be in trouble. Kenny made the deal, got us a veteran center. He doesn't have to be the best player on the ice. He's just got to be part of the group. But by having a veteran guy, it gives you someone to hold accountable. You can get Transon. It gives you someone to hold accountable. Cronwell. I think it's way easier to hold those guys accountable and leave the younger guys alone a bit more. And I don't mean alone with video or anything like that. You got to help them get better. But I think you can give them a little more breathing space when you're dealing with your veterans and they're hearing it anyway.
with Mike Babcock, the Red Wings head coach. To that end, Mike, we talk a lot about coaches trying to put square pegs in round holes, coaches that have philosophies on how the game should be played and take the group that they have and try and make them play that particular way. And without naming names, and I'm not suggesting that that's more prevalent than not in the National Hockey League, I'm just wondering if you, sort of to Elliot's point, do you change philosophically what you're trying to accomplish, recognizing the skill set, the experience of the players you now have is not what you had at the beginning of the season or expected to have?
I think what you do when you got 23 players, you coach 23 different ways, and I think you alter what you're doing for your group. And saying all that, though, we're trying to do the same things we do when we have our big group, except we have the puck way more, and so sometimes your focus can be a bit different. But what we've tried to do and what we try to do each year is we try to come up with a blueprint, and that blueprint's different from year to year and evolves and changes. Yeah, to give the guys a chance to be successful. When they know what they have to do, they don't think. Think and practice, play in the games. So we try to make our adjustments as much as we can in practice, in our preparation, so that we're ready to play at game time. And then obviously got to change some of the nuances of the game. But the reality to me is convince them of a way to play that's going to allow them to be successful. And that's what we've done. But when we brought up kids that are offensive guys, we put them in those spots. So Sheehan, Yurko, and Tatar play in those spots. Nyquist plays in those spots. Glendening's grinds. We've moved Anderson, who played in center for us in the past, or in the American League. We moved him to the wing. He makes plays in the offensive zone. We've tried to get our guys to do what they're capable of doing. And saying all that, though, if you think there isn't a whole bunch of guys that think, gee, I was an offensive star at college and this guy makes me check,
yeah,
there's a whole bunch of that going on in our program and teams I've coached too, believe me.
Oh, well, there's that on every team, I think. But you would also acknowledge that that very few people would ask you to take somebody who's never shown any particularly extraordinary offensive skill, is a sound defensive player. Nobody would suggest you got to try and get him to score 20, 25 goals in a year. You people understand you can't do that. But so many people take great scorers and say you also have to check, understanding or maybe not understanding, that that may take something away from the offense. So it speaks to your suggestion maybe you coach a little bit differently depending on the individual.
Well, the only thing I'd say to you is this, though, if you can't check your own hat, if the other team's going to win the matchup each and every night, and especially down the middle of your rink. So on our team, when you look at the middle of our rink right now, we have Leg One, we have Sheehan, we go to Helm, and we go to Glendening. Every one of them can play against anybody on the other team. So I'm not scared to death to have them on the ice. If I was, they'd be playing on the wing, and I'd move someone else in the middle. Mm. So to me, the whole game is controlled by who's up the middle, who's on the back end. So if I'm building a team, that's how I do it. I don't worry about the wingers. We'll get them later. You need centermen that can play two ways. And if they don't play two ways in the end, you can't win because the guy you're counting on can't get himself on the right side of the puck enough. So sure, he can score. He can score and his team loses every night. I didn't know that was the objective. I thought winning was the objective. Mm. So if your guys can't play down the middle, can't play without the puck, you have no chance.
Do you worry at all that when Datsyuk first and Zetterberg later come back, Mike, that your young players will become too deferential again?
That's a really good question. If they're ready to play and they can have an impact, no. If they're not ready to play, can it get in the way? Absolutely. We'll talk a ton about that. When players come back in the National League that have been out for a long time, they usually make very little impact. And if they do, they make an impact for one game and they fall off just conditioning-wise, play-wise. It's hard to be an impact player in the NHL. And saying that, when Datsyuk says he's ready, we're going to give him a hug and put him in the lineup. And I don't care if he plays right wing, left wing. Normally what Pavel does when he comes back, he says, I can't play in the middle. Get someone else to play down low. I'll play on the wall. I would assume that's what he's going to tell me. Is he telling me that tomorrow? Is he telling me that Friday? I don't know the answer.
But it's that. We're literally days away, right, Mike?
Well, we think that. You know, I don't know. I always say I believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I get you. And I guess you're not in a situation now where you have the luxury of deciding whether to bring him back a game early or let him take an extra week. You don't have that luxury, really.
Correct. We're going to play him when we want. We know we're in an emergency situation. You know, in Detroit, everyone talks about how long we've been in it, in the playoffs and all that. And don't get me wrong, that weighs into the equation. But what matters here to me is we got a bunch of kids who battled their butt off to give themselves an opportunity. If we can help them, let's help them. Let's give them this opportunity. We've been in basically playoff-type mode here for 2 to 3 weeks. The guys have responded good. Let's keep grinding and see if we can't get in.
Is it more important? I know this is going to seem like a little bit of a vague question, but is it more important, do you think, with this group to ultimately succeed and make the playoffs because of the youth, because of the uphill struggle, because of what they've had to go through, the way things have evolved? You're now down to the last 5 or 6 games of the regular season. Is there a level of is it really important that these guys make the playoffs as the first bar of success?
Well, it's really important we make the playoffs because that's what we set out to do. This is the year we're in. Like, you know, I'm different than some people. I'm not living in the past and I'm not living in the future. I'm living right now.
Yeah.
And right now, our team's got to get in the playoffs. This is our opportunity. Make good on your opportunity. Next year in sport never comes. We got an opportunity right here, right now. Our kids are getting better each and every day. We seem to be very determined. We seem to think we're good. We seem to play with good detail and structure and try real hard. To me, you got an opportunity. Let's make good on it.
I wanted to ask you something specifically about Toronto, but not making you answer about them specifically.
Good, because I'm not talking about Toronto.
Well, okay. This is the way I'm going to ask it.
Okay.
If you had a team that had lost 8 straight games, how would you convince them that they can win the 9th?
You know, I don't know. This is what I do know in our league. And I say to my coaches all the time, and I say to people all the time, when we're second-guessing anybody on another staff, those are usually very smart people managing their team, and they know their team way better than we know their team. I just think that the people that are in it are doing everything they can to make it happen. That's what they're going to try to do. They don't need me second guessing, especially because I don't know anything about it.
Well, it's not second guessing, Mike, as much as it's about a coaching philosophy. Like, every coach goes through losing streaks. So what do you do to get them out of it?
If you're wondering if you're ever going to win again, you know, that happens every year. And what you do is you focus on process and you keep grinding. So how do you play in your own zone? How do you play in the neutral zone? How do you attack? How are you on the specialty teams? You focus on details and you get energized and you be as positive as you can and you try to catch them doing it right. And when you catch them doing it right, it's a reinforcing thing. And that's what you try to do. And you know, at times in sport, you think it's never going to turn. It's going to turn. You just got to make it turn.
Last question for me. I don't know, but I can't speak for Elliot. He may throw something else at you. But
I'm good.
That'd be great. My daughter's playing soccer. I wouldn't mind watching her.
All right. Well, then we'll let you go. But let me ask you this then. You're 75 or so games into a season in the Eastern Conference. How has it been? We talked a lot before you moved back east about how much easier it would be from a travel perspective. Has it been?
Well, I guess this is what I'd say to you. Because of the condensed schedule and because of the Olympics, I have no idea. And so if you ask me after next year, I'll have a better handle on what it's about. To me, if hockey's hockey, I haven't noticed any difference that way. You know, we haven't got to La Sun in California as much. We got to Florida a bit more, I guess. I tell you the truth, I haven't noticed it at all. And I don't know if it's just because it's Olympic year and everything's jammed together.
Listen,
we hope your daughter plays a great two-way game.
Yeah, we want to let you go and
she
watch
will.
It.
She will. You can count on it. Take care.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Mike.